Welcome to session two of the main content of Wake Up Productive. This is also session two of the inner game of personal productivity. And I call this session the inner butterfly effect. How chaos gets started in your mind, your emotions, and your body, and what to do about it. So what do I mean by this phrase, the butterfly effect? That sounds kind of fancy, right? Well, I'm talking about a concept. It was a term that was coined by a guy that was studying chaos theory. And he said, could a butterfly flapping its wings in Beijing trigger a storm in Kansas? And as it turns out, these little things can trigger big things much later. In systems theory, they look for this kind of stuff. And they say, how do these little tiny things trigger all of these big effects? And how do big effects have, you know, other effects on other smaller things and bigger things like them? And how does all this cause-effect stuff work? And it's really interesting. Well, the inner butterfly is the inner butterfly that's flapping its wings in Beijing, causing the storm in Kansas is, you know, mentally, have you ever had a thought where something pops up in your mind and then it triggers another thought? And then another thought, and they just start swirling and swirling. And before you know it, a half hour's gone. And you've gotten nothing done except worrying or thinking about the exact same things that you thought about yesterday. And it's all a bunch of just thoughts that, you know, swirled up and created a hurricane in your mind. I've found that, you know, this process can be like a train. I mean, it can be like a freight train picking up steam. And once your mind gets going, you just can't stop. It's the inner butterfly chaos of the mind. What about emotionally? What about emotional butterflies? Well, this is the process where you have an emotion that gets triggered by something, okay? Typically by a thought or something external happens. You go, oh, and you get fear, or something happens and, you know, you start to, you know, get excited about something, or something happens and, you know, it triggers jealousy or some other emotion, and then that triggers another emotion and another, and then they start layering on top of each other. And then what does that do? Well, it triggers a bunch of thoughts, and then the thoughts trigger the emotions and it gets going. What about the physical aspect? What about physical butterflies? Well, I mean, there are a lot of different examples of this, but, you know, some people, they can't stop fidgeting, and they start fidgeting, and they get busy, and they focus on their fidgeting, and then that makes them nervous, and they start feeling more nervous. Or how about an external physical butterfly? An area where you're disorganized. Maybe you lose your keys all the time, and as you're hunting around looking for your keys, you get distracted, and you lose something else, or you find something you haven't found in a while, and that distracts you, and then you're going through something else. Or maybe you have a totally messy work area, and everything's gone, you're always digging through it, and this acts as, you know, a chaos fire starter. And next thing you know, you're just lost in this thing. And of course, these all work together. These are all what I call inner butterflies. And what we want to do is, I think we want to see just how big this challenge really is. We want to look at ourselves and be really honest and examine our inner butterflies and realize just how much we have a thought and it triggers another thought and it triggers another one and another one and another one. And just how much we have an emotion and it triggers another and another. And just how much, you know, we get a little disorganized physically and it just throws us off completely. And we want to realize this and be honest because we're going to be doing some things to cultivate more focus and to cultivate the ability to stay on one thing and to just keep working to get results in one area. And if we're going to do that, we really need to make friends with this area and be honest about it and, you know, bring the thing that's in the shadow into the light, bring the thing that's the elephant in the room that no one's talking about into consciousness and say, hey, there's an elephant in the room. Now, most of us want to act like we're totally together, like this stuff never happens to us. No, I control what I think and what I feel and what I do. But if you were honest with me, I think that you would admit that constantly your mind runs off and you start thinking about things. I'll even give you a little treat here because this is one of my favorite areas of psychology. They've done experiments with people and with animals that, you know, unfortunately I probably wouldn't say we should do again, but they've learned a lot of amazing things. In one case, I remember reading about someone who, I think they had epileptic seizures and they had the corpus callosum, the bundle of nerve fibers that separates or that connects the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere of the brain. And they severed that in a person to help them with their epilepsy. And then they did some psychological experiments where they showed a message to one of their eyes And I don't know if you know this, but you know, your left brain, the left side of your brain controls the right side of your body, and the right side of your brain controls the left side of your body. You're cross-wired. This is the way most people are wired. And so if you cut the corpus callosum and they can't talk to each other anymore, if you show something to someone's right eye, it'll affect their left brain. Their left brain will be reading it. And if you show something to someone's left eye, it'll go into their right brain. So what they would do is they would show someone, they'd show their left eye like, you know, a picture of a Coca-Cola, but their right eye couldn't see it. And they weren't conscious of what's going on, because the right brain is the abstract, conceptual, not in time kind of creative brain. And they'd show it to the person, and then they'd stop, and then the person would stand up and walk out of the room and go to the Coke machine and get a Coke and come back and sit down and start drinking it. And the left brain was not aware of why it happened. So they would say to the person, "Why did you just get up and get a Coke?" And the person would say, "You know, I was thirsty and a Coke just sounded good." And they would retrospectively make up a story to make it work. There's another great experiment from hypnosis where a hypnotherapist hypnotized someone and while they were hypnotized, had them open up an umbrella and then hold it over their head. And then they brought them out of hypnosis while they were holding the umbrella. And the person came out and looked at the umbrella and realized they were there. And the hypnotherapist said, "Why do you have an umbrella open in here?" And the person said, "Because it was raining." And these things are very telling, actually, because we do this stuff all the time. We make up reasons for why we do things. We rationalize. We come up with the logic and the reason why we did stuff as if we were totally in control of it. And we're really not. We're actually driven by a lot of passions and drives that we're not aware of. We're not as in control as we think. So becoming more honest, admitting that we do this stuff and admitting that we're a lot more susceptible to inner butterflies, logical, emotional, physical than we think, that's like the first step to recovery. So let's talk about what makes the inner butterfly effect worse. Okay, what makes it worse? Well, I actually think that things like multitasking and parallel processing and switching from one thing to the next a lot makes the inner butterfly problem worse. It aggravates the problem. Why? Because it switches the mind, it switches the emotions, it switches the body from one thing to the next. And we think that we're really cool because we can do that and we can switch really quickly, but we don't understand that it's making us very inefficient. And I think we can become a butterfly addict, where we become addicted to this state where the stress chemicals start to flow into our bodies. We worry ourselves and we get all worked up. And then when we're not worried, we don't have the stress chemicals. And since we're kind of addicted to them, we get fired up to them, that we go, "Oh, I got to get myself fired up." My mentor Jerry used to say, some people are addicted to their struggle. Okay, addicted to their struggle. And I know you're probably not that bad, but you might be able to relate to it a little bit. Okay, you know somebody who you say, how are things going? And they go, "Oh man, everything's so crazy." And that's how it always is for them. Well, if you call somebody up and you go, "How you doing?" And they go, "Oh man, everything's crazy," more than about 3 or 4 times, they're probably addicted to their butterflies. They're probably addicted to their struggle. They can't get out of it. And they've probably been switching channels so fast and doing so many things and allowing their mind to just, you know, float off like a butterfly flapping its wings and triggering a million other things. And they've been doing it for so long that it's become their identity. It's who they are. They don't know any better. So that's one challenge. We want to, you know, if we're kind of addicted to that state, or we're, you know, totally caught up in it too much, we might have to take some extra measures to get this handled. But it's something I think we should talk about and something that we should at least address. So what happens when you start noticing your butterflies? What happens that first time that you have one of those trigger thoughts and you see yourself going right off into the next thing and the next, and you catch yourself and you say, "Hey, wait a minute. I was going to focus on doing this one thing and now I'm getting distracted." Well, that is a moment that you might call waking up. Okay, that is waking up right there. The title of this program is Wake Up Productive. The title actually has several different meanings. I mean it in a lot of different ways. We started off by saying you're going to wake up productive in 90 days. You're going to wake up and you're going to be productive. Well, we want to wake up every day and feel productive. We want to wake up being productive. But also, there's kind of a state of mind or of consciousness where you start to notice things that used to be habitual. And when you have that noticing moment, that I call waking up. That's awareness. That's what we were talking about before. That's awareness. You wake up for a second. And when you wake up and you see it, you have to do something in that moment. You have to put something in place that helps you get control of that thing. And we're going to do an exercise right now that's going to help you do that. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to write down our butterflies. Okay, we want to make a big list of all of our butterflies. And we want to make them in three categories: mental, emotional, physical. What are those triggers? What's a trigger thought that triggers a whole bunch of other thoughts? What's a trigger emotion that triggers a whole bunch of other emotions? And what's a trigger in physical reality that that triggers? It might be a feeling inside you, or it might be a feeling outside you that triggers you to just go off and get busy doing a bunch of things obsessively, right, without any consciousness. So we want to write all of those down right now. So here's what I want you to do. Go ahead and take about 5 minutes right now and write down all of the butterflies that you can think of, those trigger thoughts, trigger emotions, trigger things physically that trigger you to get off, start flapping the butterfly, and start the storm. Okay, you want to just maybe make a list of three or four each on a piece of paper. Press pause, do that, and then come back when you're finished. Go. Okay, great. Great job. Did you have a little bit of awareness there? Did you have a little bit of an aha when you did that? Good. So now what I want to do is I want to use the power of visualization to see if we can get you started noticing those butterflies when they come up. Look down on the list that you just wrote. Okay, look at the list. See if you can find the one biggest butterfly. What's the one trigger? Might be mental, might be emotional, might be physical, that just sets all of the rest of them off. Okay, where's the big one for you? Okay, put a little star next to it. Okay, good. Here's what I want to do. I want you to do a visualization right now where I want you to close your eyes. Just go ahead and do that right now. Close your eyes. Now imagine that you're in the situation that happens right before you get the butterfly, right before the trigger shows up. And then almost like slow motion, like you're watching it up on a screen, a movie screen, start to see the event begin to happen very slowly. Okay, imagine it's like one of those nature documentaries where they have the slow motion camera where you can see it really clear, but it's very, very slow. And see that process happening. Good. Now run through the whole process and see how it triggers you. See that step where it starts to disconnect you from what you were doing and distract you. Notice the complete defocusing from where you are and the getting put off in another direction. And then see the next thing that happens, and then see what that triggers, and then see what that triggers. See if you can dissect it in your mind for just a moment. Good. Good. Now when you've got that process clear, what we're going to do is let's rewind the tape. Okay? Open your eyes, come back for a second. Good. I'm going to shake out for a second. Now I want you to close your eyes again. What we're going to do this time is we're going to try to put a different pathway at the end of that trigger. So when you get the trigger, when it happens, instead of going off on the normal path, you go off on the new path. And we're going to use visualization because what you're going to find is that you have to first see things in your mind before you'll do them in reality. And by doing mental rehearsal, you can condition yourself so that when something happens, you remember and you go, oh, okay, now I remember what to do. It's not going to be instant. It's not going to change you forever instantly, but it is something that can make a huge difference. So close your eyes. Let's do the same visualization. But this time what we're going to do is at the end, when you have the trigger, you're going to wake up in the visualization. You're going to wake up and you're going to realize that you just got triggered. You just had a butterfly set off and you're going to stop. You're going to take a deep breath. You're going to let it go. And then you're going to go right back to what you were doing. And you're going to go right back to your focus. And you're going to feel a little charge of energy like, yeah, okay, that was cool. I took a little bit more control of myself. Okay, good. Let's do the exercise. Close your eyes. Now imagine the butterfly. It's just about to come. It's just getting set up. Now imagine that trigger happening that triggers the butterfly. And now instead of the next thing getting triggered, visualize stopping, waking up for a second and having awareness. Okay, yeah, there's the butterfly. Taking a deep breath. And then going right back to what you were doing the moment before that trigger happened. Good. As soon as this is over, I want you to do that exercise in your head 5 times. Okay, do the visualization 5 times, exactly like I shared it with you. You're going to visualize the trigger event, and then you're going to visualize stopping, taking a deep breath, pausing, having awareness, seeing it, and then going right back to your focus. Good. So that's your exercise for this week. Now, what I want to do is I want to add a couple of refinements. I've got a couple of little extra credit things for you to do to add on to your personal success ritual in the morning. Because what we're doing over this month, this 30 days, is we're trying to do our personal morning success ritual every single day. And we're going to add a few tweaks each week to just keep tightening it down and keep making it better and better and clearer. You are doing your personal success ritual every morning, right? Okay, good. So here's what we're going to do. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to start getting enough sleep. Okay, we're going to start getting enough sleep. Stress is one of the most damaging forces on you, your life, and your body. And I'm talking about the negative stress, or what you might call distress, or stress that comes from negative force. There's actually a positive stress called eustress, and we'll talk about that more later in this program too. But negative stress is one of the most damaging things that you can face. And one of the things that you can do to put yourself under negative stress is to not get enough sleep. Most people need at least 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep. I don't know how much sleep you get, but you need to start figuring that out for yourself. You're not going to get extra sleep in the morning, so you need to get it the night before. So what I'd like you to start doing is getting enough sleep. One way to see if you're getting enough sleep is the next morning where you don't have anything to do, don't set an alarm clock and see how long you sleep. Okay? Go to sleep a little bit early and just see how long you sleep. And if you wind up sleeping for 8 or 9 or 10 hours, you're probably a little on the sleep deprived side. So you need to get at least 7.5 hours of sleep. And you might even want to try going up to 8.5 to 9 for a while, because this will really dramatically increase your productivity. Now, if you're someone that sleeps 5 hours a night because you're so busy and you've got so much to do in your life, you might say, geez, I can't imagine doing that. I just don't have the extra 2 hours or 3 hours of life. It just doesn't exist. What I'm going to suggest to you is that if you use the methods that I'm going to teach you here in Wake Up Productive, you're going to get that leverage. And that 2 or 3 hours that you need to reclaim and use to sleep, you're going to get back 4 to 6 hours worth of productivity during the day when you do it. So the first thing we're going to do to tighten up and refine our morning success, our personal success ritual, is make sure we always get enough sleep. And the second thing we're going to do is we're going to try to add some motivation to it. If you're finding it challenging to do your personal success ritual every morning, we need to take the power of motivation and we need to apply it to this area. Now, like I mentioned before, some people are more motivated by what they move towards, like getting the goal, and some people are more motivated by what they move away from, avoiding pain. And I think that you should bring both to bear here. Okay, so bring a reward and bring some kind of pain. You want to bring something that you move toward and something that you move away from. And you don't want to make this too extreme, of course. You don't want to get crazy and do anything too out there. But what I would say is, what's something that you could use to reward yourself with? Not something unhealthy, but something healthy. It might be something like, for me, it's a massage. We've got a little massage place down a few blocks from where I live, and they have 1 hour massages for $44. And I love getting massages. They help relax me, and they're really good. And it's a nice little motivator for me. I tend to be more of a toward person, by the way. So I'll think, okay, I'm going to get something done. And after I get it done, I'm going to treat myself to a $44 massage. Great, that really works. Now, away from motivation is also very, very powerful. We're going to talk about accountability later. But one of the things that you might do is you might get some accountability. You might get a friend and say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my morning ritual every morning. And here are the steps. And I'm going to email you every day by 11 a.m. and tell you I did my morning ritual. And every day that I don't do it over the next 30 days, I'm going to give you $20. And that's the deal. Okay, that's like an away from kind of thing. And that's some accountability, but it's more away from. We'll talk more about accountability down the road here. But get yourself a toward motivation and get yourself an away from motivation to make sure you do it. You're going to notice that when you're in awareness, when you have the aha, that's the moment when you have the wherewithal, the power to put those things in place. You are never going to put toward and away from motivation in place when you're actually in the moment and you're in resistance. You're trying to resist gravity and you're standing there looking at your exercise shoes and going, I don't want to do it today. You are not going to call up and tell someone, make me do it or I'm going to pay you $20. You're not going to do it then. You have to do it now. So right now you might be having a moment of awareness. As soon as this session is over, you might want to sit down and put those rewards and those away from motivations in place. You might want to email a friend and say, look, here's my morning ritual. I am committed to doing this every single day for 30 days. Or, you know, you might say, I'm going to do it 6 days a week or whatever and take Sundays off if that's a little bit more rational or reasonable. But I'm going to do this every day for 30 days. And for every day that I don't do it, I'm going to pay you $20 for 30 days. That's when you'll, you know, you'll really do it. So when you get up in the morning, you won't even be standing there looking at your shoes going, oh, you'll be like, I don't want to lose the $20 today. So I'm getting right into it. You're also going to find, by the way, if you've been doing this for a week, you're getting close to, you know, escape velocity. You're getting up some of that speed. You find that it's getting easier and easier and the resistance is getting less and less. All right. And if you fall off the wagon, make sure you get right back on. Because one of the things that I've learned about habits and rituals and routines and getting these into your life is that if you try something for a week and then you fall off the wagon and you get distracted, you know, for me, traveling does it. I'm trying a new ritual. I'm putting it in place. And then I get on a plane and I fly somewhere and I'm gone for a week and I have meetings all the time. And I don't even remember that I got off track until I get home and I'm like, oh man, I haven't done my ritual for a whole week. Get right back into it immediately. And you'll find that the second time it's a lot easier because you've already gone through the moves. And whereas you were resisting in your mind, oh, I remember how hard it was when I started. I don't want to do that again. The second time is a lot easier. And if you have to do it a third time, the third time is even easier and easier. So right now, while you have some awareness, put a toward motivation in place for yourself if you do it every day for 30 days and put an away from motivation in place for yourself. Something that's not too big, but that will really motivate you. And I think if you find that if you use the power of toward and away from motivation, you get some leverage on yourself that you're going to wake up in 30 days and you're going to have your ritual done. You're going to have it. It's going to be integrated into your life and you're going to feel pulled into it. So that wraps up session two. Make sure and do your inner butterflies exercise 5 times. Get enough sleep and make sure that you're putting some toward and away from motivation in place for your ritual. And I'll talk to you again next week.